three major college prospects.
Oh, we got showtime coming. Justin Norris with the one-hand hammer.
Baldwin at the top, rises for three over Young and buries it.
Johnny Davis on the leak out of the slam, and that's your exclamation mark.
A team looking to get back on top in the NBA.
I think our job is to stay balanced, stay in the pocket, understand that being great offensively and defensively, having players that fit around Giannis, that fit coach's system.
Welcome to Wisconsin Basketball Draft Night. Alongside former Badger Ben Brust, here's Bucks radio host Justin Garcia.
Well, we know the 20th pick, or we are soon to know the 20th pick, is that is in. And E.J. Liddell would make sense for the Spurs. He is the Spurs player.
That is so spot on. If E.J. Liddell goes, we extended the show to let everyone know whoever the Bucks pick will be traded.
So we were just looking through the trades that we were talking about. The Knicks have made two trades.
Yeah, it was... it was wild. It was the wild, wild west on Twitter between Shams and Woj.
And by the way, Jay Billis says E.J. Liddell is his best available player right now. But what I piece from this is the Knicks are freeing up money. And why would the Knicks do that when there's another player at point guard already playing in the state of New York who has listed the Knicks as one of his teams he would be interested in playing with as early as today? The Knicks shed the contract to Kemba Walker. It cost them a first-round pick to do so. They do get, ironically enough, the Bucks' first-round pick next year.
That pick has been moved just about everywhere,
all around.
When can they not be linked to this pick?
Go to Basketball Reference and look at the pick, and then it's just, you go through the paragraphs
of
history.
Milwaukee,
Charlotte, so basically, between the trades that they made to get rid of Kemba Walker's nine-ish million dollars. And if they renounce Ryan Arcidiacono and Taj Gibson, who are both free agents, they got over $20 million in salary cap room, which would probably be enough to sign Kyrie Irving.
Man, he'd be opting out of 37.5
for 20-ish for multiple years.
Yeah, no, I know.
But yes. And he'd be opting out of playing with Kevin Durant.
Fascinating storyline. Like, I need a 30 for 30 on Kyrie.
This is definitely
ASAP.
E.J. Liddell. We agree?
I agree.
In the 2020 NBA draft, the San Antonio Spurs select Malachi Branham.
Wow.
His teammate. Ohio State University.
I actually would have loved if E.J. Liddell would have fell, would have been taken there, and Branham would have fell.
There.
I would have Branham at a value for the Bucks because I think you if you add length and shooting, and that's what Malachi is, he's length and shooting, I would have been for that. E.J. Liddell has been
the guy.
It never works out that way.
No.
It never does.
He was the guy that everybody zeroed in on from day one, and it was probably the wounded yet to heal from the loss to the Celtics and looking at what were we missing.
Correct.
Chris was injured. You didn't have PJ anymore. And this guy that replicated PJ really killed us in that series. Oh, this guy kind of checks those boxes.
He can shoot, in my
opinion.
Much, much more consistently.
Has that, I don't know if you want to come a hard rocking dude.
I don't think so. I don't think so yet.
Has the acreage.
He does have the lineage to potentially become one. Are we changing it from brother to dude? Because I think I like that.
Yeah.
Hard rockin' dude.
I kind of flubbed that one up, but I do like dude better.
Hard rockin' dude.
So we said we were going to go through this Bucks roster as it presently stands and try to see how many HRBs, HRDs, what does the roster look like? And the old 82 versus 16. So
the Bucks have a lot of hard rocking dudes.
Scale 1 to 10. Your level of surprise when you saw the report yesterday that Pat Connaughton, rather than opting out and becoming a free agent, and we tried to warn people, you know, you saw the PJ Tucker's opting out and thought, whoa, what's going on here? You tried to, all right, this happens. Don't freak out when this happens with Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis. It's part of the process. But seeing Pat Connaughton opt in to a $4.5 million deal, I would assume there's an extension being worked on, and that will be announced during the season. Pat Connaughton's here beyond this year. But still, he would have fetched on the free agent market 4 years, 48, something like that. That's a lot of money.
I was
going to
put him in the $10 million plus category. Yeah. I mean, especially if Grayson Allen's getting $10 million a year from the Bucks on his extension that Horse gave him earlier before. Was it in the it was basically like the
basically
second,
as soon as they acquired.
Yeah, it was right away, which at the time I thought was a really good move. And I'm trying not to be prisoner of the moment, but I can't get the images out of Jaylen Brown destroying Grayson Allen on defensive end and him not being able to create shots around. Like, he was able to create, but he wasn't able to consistently finish around the rim.
Right.
And he wasn't able to knock down shots with the length that Boston provided. Level of shock from a Pat Connaughton standpoint, I don't think Bucks fans realize how good they have it. Like, for real, though, think about what Bobby Portis did. He didn't have to do what he did last year and come back on a team-friendly deal. Pat Connaughton, team-friendly deal. Like, there's some guys making sacrifices in their own personal pocketbooks to be a part of this organization, knowing that they have an opportunity to win a championship. And if that championship comes, or if the opportunity comes for them to grow with the franchise, like Bobby had, he stepped up. Didn't have the best playoffs, in my opinion, but he had a growing year, regular season. Brooke being out, he stepped into a new role. He was a double-double machine at times. So he showed his worth. Pat Connaughton, stud. Absolute stud in the 2021 championship run. Like, there's no getting around it. Those two guys, their selflessness, you don't see that. You really don't see that across the league.
So, as the roster is currently constructed, you have... Rajon Tucker, Luka Vildoza, both under contract. Lindell Wigginton and Mamu are both on two-way deals. And by the way, surprised I didn't see you there. I saw Lindell Wigginton and Mamu last night at AEW Dynamite at UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena. I was waiting for you to show up, but didn't see
you. You know I'm a big wrestling fan.
Yeah. So those are the guys that...
I love watching fake things. It's my favorite thing to do.
First of all, there's nothing fake about it. But anyway, the two-way deals for Lindell and Mamu. Luka Vildoza and Rajon Tucker, both very, very low-level contracts. Those are the things that are...
Vildoza's the future.
On Buck's Twitter, he is certainly the future. But those can often be the most vulnerable. What you know you have is Brooke Lopez, Giannis, Chris Middleton, Grayson Allen, Drew Holiday, and if we're looking at who's under contract, Jordan Wara, George Hill, and Pat Connaughton. Thanasis Adetokounmpo as well. And now we have a trade.
You had talked about this earlier.
So this is the Knicks basically getting multiple picks for the 11th overall pick.
For three conditional first-round picks.
Usman Dang, a very Thunder type of player, but the pick is in here for the Denver Nuggets.
21st pick in the 2022 NBA Draft. The Denver Nuggets select Christian Brown from the University of Kansas.
Relatively higher than expected.
Yeah.
Another player you saw early second round, maybe around the Bucks, but he was seemingly sliding recently.
Yeah, I'm shocked by this one. I don't look at him as somebody who, like, Jokic is going to be, like, getting the ball and be like, I got to find Christian Brown. You know, like, I love his size. I love the versatility, but I don't love him this early in the draft, being completely honest.
So we have eight players under contract, nine with Thanasis. And the unknowns that you feel good about, but you can't write it down in pen just yet, Wesley Matthews and Javon Carter. So if you swap out Grayson Allen and George Hill for Wesley Matthews and Javon Carter and bring in a player whether it's a Harrison Barnes that's been talked about, Kyle Kuzma that's been talked about.
I looked at him. I looked at his contract. I was like, it works. Is it a fit? I don't know if I love the Kuzma fit.
Because of the defense?
Yes. I know he can. He would add an element of wing scoring, but even that, like, I don't know if he's a move the ball type guy. I could see him getting frustrated with the amount of Giannis touches that Giannis will get, and sometimes Giannis does just put his head down and go, and you have to be okay as a teammate with Giannis, knowing that, like, he's going to find me at times, but there also may be times that he doesn't even know I exist on the floor. Because he might not stop until he gets to the rim and dunks on somebody.
So the way the Bucks roster is right now, there is technically 11 players there. Jordan Wara is a restricted free agent, so I think we put him down in pen, but he could potentially be gone. They're currently at $159 million-plus in their cap. The tax is $149, so it's already a $10 million tax bill, which is... They're at the level it's about $2 per dollar spent. So now it's $30 million that you're dishing out with the tax and then what you're taxed. And that's without Bobby Portis. That right now, Bobby Portis is $4.5 million, less than Pat Connaughton. If Bobby Portis does what Pat Connaughton did, then I'm totally stunned. And
yeah.
Opts in that if that
There's
happens.
No way.
If that happens, then it's pretty clear it's. We feel really strongly we were winning the title last year if Chris doesn't get hurt. Let's bring back the same exact same group one more year and see what happens.
I think that's a complacent move, though. I'm not. You always have to be trying to get better because everyone else is trying to get better.
Because so I was asked the question. Homer asked it earlier today, too, of how much money do the Bucks save by Pat Connaughton doing this? And cap-wise, they save nothing. This is tax money that they're saving.
It'd probably been another, what, $5-6 million that
so
he would have been paid?
Right. We just said we think Pat was $10-12 million
yep.
annually. He opted into a $5.7 million deal. So let's say $6 million that at that point you're accelerating the tax.
In the 2022 NBA draft.
Former Bud coach.
The Memphis Grizzlies select Walker Kessler from Auburn.
Another
University.
Player linked to the Bucks.
Again, I was fine with Walker Kessler not going to the Bucks because everyone would expect him to be Brook Lopez.
Right.
And you don't just turn into Brook, what Brook has
well,
been able to
and,
do.
And big men generally, it's just difficult to get instant production. Dwight Howard's and Joel Embiid's are different from what we're talking about, especially at this point in the draft. You don't find immediate impact from bigs. But Walker Kessler, another one that was linked to the Bucks. Off the board, but we are getting closer and closer to the Milwaukee Bucks pick, the 24th pick in the NBA draft here.
Come back with that, Ashton.
It is almost there. Pick 23, the 76ers are on the board, so when we return, we are zeroing in on the 24th overall pick.
The Bucks don't stop here.
All right, the Sixers. Have made the pick, sort of, so the Bucks are on the clock, but the 76ers have done what we assume the Bucks are going to do with this pick. They've made a selection, but it's part of a trade. You have the details on the trade?
Were you talking to me?
I was talking to you.
So you want the details of the Grizzlies trade?
The Sixers and the Grizzlies.
So, the Sixers are sending Danny Green and the 23rd pick, which is David Rohde, out of Colorado State. I believe he was the Mountain West Player of the Year. Really enjoyed his game, but he was a projected late second-round pick. So this is a move in which somebody says, we want this guy, we're moving up. But yeah, Shams was on this one before Woj, as we're battling it out. Philadelphia trading the 23rd pick to Memphis for DeAnthony Melton. So Melton is going to Philadelphia, Danny Green to Memphis. And so that's an opportunity for Ty Washington or E.J. Liddell, two guys that could potentially land with the Milwaukee Bucks. I would land Ty Washington. Like, a lot, he was projected lottery pick, late lottery pick, that could actually end up with the Bucks.
We were talking about it off the air, too, of I think a lot of Packer fans were enthused with the picks because it was, what are basically the three constants we know in college football? Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson. And yep. Alabama and Georgia are really good defensively. So if that's what we're targeting.
Like a historic defense from Georgia.
Let's get one of those guys. And for me, it's always been that way with basketball. If I'm going to keep the pick, and I want a guy that I know, this guy's more likely than not going to produce at the NBA level, I want somebody that John Calipari got ready and the pro factory at Kentucky. So
he's got the resume. And just to confirm, Danny Green and David Rohde to Memphis and DeAnthony Melton to the 76ers. That was the 23rd pick, and the Bucks have 2 minutes and 12 seconds.
Danny Green is not going to play this year, I would assume, with the ACL injury that he suffered in the playoffs.
Which,
so,
to his credit, before that ACL injury, he started to play like
really well in
really,
that series.
Really, really well, like Danny Green of championship era.
And DeAnthony Melton, the contracts are very similar. They're both expiring deals. I think Danny Green was around $10 million. Melton's at about $8.5 million. But what he did really well last year was shoot from the corners. He had his best offensive season, especially shooting the basketball. He's in the 92nd percentile on corner three percentage. He hit 48% of his corner threes. And when you're playing with James Harden, as we assume he's going to be back in Philly, it's a move that makes a lot of sense, that Daryl Morey would target a guy that can sit in the corner, wait for the pass from James Harden, and hit a three, especially with no Danny Green physically this year.
And so I want your guys' opinion on this. The broadcast is in commercial break. The Bucks have been leaked on Twitter to their pick. I like waiting. I like the effects. I don't know about you guys. I like waiting for the effects of the TV with the dun 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 dun.
I'm with Ben on this. This is a poor move. I feel like we're missing out. It's a poor move. I feel like we're missing out right now.
I thought he said something else.
What do you think we're missing out on?
I don't like that they had to go to break, and now we're gonna get it right now, which is great. But I feel like we knew it 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, but like honestly, I could have done that about every single pick. But because it was the one that we extended the show for, and by the way, we found out at 9:25, 25 minutes after our scheduled time to be on the air, that the Bucks are picking. And I believe Adam Silver is heading to the podium.
David Silver, shouts to 90210.
Huh?
I was going to say David Stearns.
I know. But David Silver, great character on Beverly Hills 90210.
All right.
Adam Silver taking a real long time to walk up there.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Adam. We know the pick. We know the pick. Ashton, what's the pick?
I can't say it.
If we don't get...
I should have said it.
Adam Silver
but
at the podium. Okay,
have,
here
you
it is.
Don't have it.
You know what? How did he miss the chime?
With the 24th pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Marjon Beauchamp.
So
the NBA G League's Team Ignite.
You thought they were going to package this, right? Prior to the announcement of this.
Correct.
Does this change your opinion?
Not to mention this young...
I mean, why I like it, lengthy, 7-foot wingspan, defensive, and... You know, if you heard me all year long, what did I think the Bucks were missing? And I tried to convince myself that like a DeAndre Bembry could be this, because Pat Connaughton and Grayson Allen, they're just not. The Bucks needed to get more athletic.
Yes.
And they become more
Pat Connaughton.
Athletic. Again, yes, it was in the dunk contest.
But you need
versus,
more.
But
of
I'm
that.
Talking about a 6'6", 6'7".
Right. You need more than just Pat Connaughton
exactly.
That you can point to. Right.
And this is a guy, again, versatile defender and opportunistic offensively. That's perfect. That's a guy who's going to create second chances on offensive rebounds, tap outs, and he's going to be able to guard 1 through 4. So I think from a need standpoint, it checks my box. I know everyone wanted EJ Liddell, a guy who can step out and shoot. You know, EJ Liddell is a guy that you look at the highlights and you're like, I want him. Marjon's a guy where you're like, he doesn't shoot very well. You know, went to the G League, kind of a weird route, community college before he went to the G League. But I like the tangibles. And at 6'6", with a 7-foot wingspan, that's a guy that's going to create second chance opportunities. He is going to create some defensive havoc, steals, blocks, and I like it. I really do.
You think they're keeping this?
What do you know that I don't?
I'm just legitimately asking.
I do, because I think it fits the need, and it's just the way the board fell. I do think, as much as I don't wouldn't have loved Walker Kessler, I could have seen the Bucks taking a guy like that, kind of grooming him into. Oh, I love Marjan's emotion. That's the most tears we've seen on stage, baby. That's a guy who cares. That is, what are we calling him? Give it to me, Ashton.
Rockets in his ass.
Well, I hope he's got rockets in his ass.
Yeah, we hope so.
He would call those guys hard rocking brothers.
That is Shaka Smart talking about guys who can guard every position, super strong. Now, again, at 6'6", 200 pounds, he's not a hard rocking brother yet. But he can turn into a hard rocking dude. Add 30 pounds, become that versatile, long, defending wing.
6'6", but he's basically a 7-foot wingspan. Defense is what you're going to talk about the most with him, that he can defend multiple positions.
And I know that's boring to people,
but that's
how the Bucks win.
Exactly. And I was going to say, when you go back and listen to everything that John Horst said last Friday, he made sure to reiterate defense. We won in the past because of our defense. And obviously the defense took a step backward in the regular season last year. Well, we also didn't have Brook Lopez. So we think that's a big piece to it. But, you know, he himself said what you've kind of alluded to throughout the show. You can't become a prisoner of the moment in the league, and that we lost to a team that had this, therefore
we weren't scoring
that
enough.
Right, and, well, this is clearly the blueprint. This is what we have to do moving forward, that you can't get locked into that line of thinking that we think we're a defensive team, we think we have pretty good shooting, we think we have the best player in the world, and we got really good complementary pieces around him. Let's just continue to build up this defense. And if the knock on him is, well, not a great shooter, shooting is one of the things. I know it's easier said than done, but shooting is one of the things you see guys improve upon as they go through the league.
All right, I'm going to pull a Jason Wilde. I know Jason's been on Wisconsin's Afternoon News on WTMJ during Packers season. You hear him across ESPN Wisconsin on Wilde and Tausch. I'm going to do a little bit of reading on the radio. This is a Marjan scouting report. In total, where Beauchamp is best overall on the court right now is as a defender. He truly takes pride in not letting his man get a clean look. He does an awesome job of using his chest to get into opposing offensive players, walling up, absorbing contact to where even bigger wings can't plow through him. More physical at a point of attack than quick. Could have some small issues against quicker guards, but he is switchable and will be able to handle twos through fours. Does that not explain what we've talked about this entire extended Wisconsin basketball draft night about what the Bucks need?
You had to throw it extended, too.
Yeah, I did. But I'm having fun. It's a fun pick. I think it's a fun pick because it's intriguing. It's different. It's not the EJ Liddell step out and shoot guy. This is a guy that is versatile and can defend and fits the blueprint of how the Milwaukee Bucks have won over the last 3 years.
So the pick is in. It's Marjan Beauchamp. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us. Your reaction, your instant reaction to the selection of Marjan Beauchamp by the Bucks. We'll get to some more scouting reports and hear from you as the draft rolls on. All right, Marjan Beauchamp is the pick at 24 for the Bucks. Played for the G League Ignite last season. As we said, he's basically got 7-foot wingspan. He has a lot of length on the perimeter, and he's a defensive guy. So, you know, Bud's going to love him, assuming this pick is staying in Milwaukee. You know, Bud is going to love him for his defensive acumen. And as we've touched on, EJ Liddell is a guy that got mentioned the absolute most. Everybody was salivating over Dalen Terry, but I think he came to realize he's not going to be there at 24. So EJ Liddell was the other guy because of his frame and ability to step out and shoot and defend multiple positions. You basically get all of that sans the shooting that Liddell had with Marjon Beauchamp.
Yeah, but I would also say you get a better athlete
and a motor that he has. Yeah.
Like he's more focused on how he can exceed at his role, and his role is going to be switching two through four, you know, being a versatile guy, getting offensive and defensive rebounds, being disruptive on the defensive end, you know, really working the blocker spot. I'd say, you know, he's not going to be standing in the corner trying to shoot threes. He's going to be looking for a dump-off pass and trying to finish quick at the rim. Whereas EJ Liddell would be more pick and pop. So you already have that. If Bobby Portis comes back, Bobby Portis is just a polished EJ Liddell. You know what I mean? So you'd almost be drafting something you already have. Now you're drafting something that's a need.
So what if they keep this pick? What if Bobby Portis pulls a Pat Connaughton and opts in to that $4.5 million deal? And they're basically running back the same group. Maybe there's some trades made with guys that are making less than $10 million or around that figure to bring in more players or a guy that can check off some of the boxes we're talking about with Marjon Beauchamp here. But what if they essentially keep this entirely the same, controlled salaries here with Bobby and Pat Connaughton? You add in a guy like Marjon Beauchamp, which if you have all those pieces in place, and if you do that, if both of those guys for some reason opt in, I would expect them to fully use the taxpayer mid-level exception. You can add another piece where all of a sudden you're looking at, we got the exact same team essentially, but more depth for a team that is pretty confident. If Chris Middleton doesn't get injured, we're champions last year, 2 years in a row now. You got to feel pretty good about them going into the season, if that is the case.
If that is the case, then that's a big if. Like, I really don't know if Bobby's going to pull, because he would.
And look, there is no inclination to think that.
He basically did that last year.
And it's just the craziness that we saw Pat Connaughton do it.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that Pat did it knowing probably there's an extension or a handshake deal on the other side.
Even then, though, you can get it from the team now.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe it was, hey, guys, if you do us this solid, we will lock you up long term.
That's just so unheard of.
Absolutely.
It is so unheard of in professional sports to go on a handshake agreement like that. And EJ Liddell still falling, you know, so maybe, what everyone thought was a perfect fit, which usually is the case, isn't.
So I think in the past we have seen the first round pick by the Bucks. It's been very polarizing in some of the picks that we have seen made by this franchise. And let's just go back and look at essentially the last 10 years of draft picks. And again, John Horst didn't make all these picks. But for the last 10 years, there's one thing that really stands out to me. Jordan Wara was not a first-round pick, but Jordan Wara is what you have left from the draft in 2020. Sam Merrill was a piece that helped get you a lot of other pieces, so we can't take that out. But Jordan Wara is what you have left from there.
Was he? He was like
second rounder,
but early, right? Wasn't he like
33
or something?
Yeah, around 35, I want to say, 40, somewhere in that range. Jordan Wara. Then you go back to Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson in John Horst's first year on the job, basically first week on the job. Thonmaker was your first round pick prior to that. Malcolm Brogdon was the second rounder in the same draft.
Rookie of the year.
Rashad Vaughn prior to that. Jabari Parker, the second overall pick prior to that.
I got snubbed in that draft.
In 2014. Damian Inglis, also in that draft. And Johnny O'Brien. So that takes us back to 2014. If we add
old summer league teammates, Justin.
If we add up games played in a Bucks uniform by those nine guys, 1,176.
Can you put that into context for people?
There are 82 games in a season.
Yeah.
So nine guys, 1,100 games played between those nine. Not great.
Yeah, not great. That's like what? 12 seasons?
12 seasons.
120 games per player is what you're averaging. So a season and a half per guy is what you've gotten there. 77 playoff games played from that group for the Bucks. The year prior to that, you drafted somebody named Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's played in 656 games, so more than half of that total, and 76 playoff games versus 77 from that other group. So
I love a good Justin Nugget.
Giannis,
he's been waiting to drop this one. Oh,
literally since like 4 o'clock today.
Giannis has played. John Henson, by the way, don't take away from him either. Prior to Giannis, 405 games and 14 playoff games. Giannis has played in 30% of the games by a Bucks draft pick dating back to John Henson, and 46% of the playoff games played by a Bucks draft pick have been from Giannis alone since 2012.
No pressure,
so
Marjan.
They need this influx of talent. You need somebody that's going to stick around more than a year or 2 years. The guy besides Giannis that has played the most games in a Bucks uniform as a Bucks draft pick, and he's also played in the most playoff games. Take a guess who it is of the list of names I just read you.
Dante?
Close. Dante has played in 176 games. He has played the second most playoff games since Giannis was drafted at 13. Jordan Juarez also at 13. The player that has played the most Bucks basketball games.
Thon?
Malcolm Brogdon at 187 games and 20 playoff games. So it's been Giannis and Malcolm Brogdon, who's no longer with the team. That's the bulk of the playing time you've gotten from the draft.
Yeah, it's not great.
You need Marjan Beauchamp.
If you're going to
if
keep
you're
this
keeping
pick,
this, yeah. You need him to be a rotational player.
I said I like it. What do you think?
I like it under the context of the way the team is constructed. And again, we're assuming it doesn't have to be opting in, but we're assuming Bobby Portis is back in some capacity. Whether he does opt in and takes a massive pay cut again, or it's an extension.
But don't you think if the Bucks knew that Bobby wasn't a part of the future, they would have drafted
EJ Liddell as the... Yeah, that's a good point. I like it under the context of we feel pretty good about our starters. We feel pretty good about this depth with Pat, with Bobby. Who knows if there's another move to be made, as we've talked about. They do have the taxpayer mid-level that can bring in a $6 to $7 million contract. We add this guy into the mix as well, and we can kind of bring him along where he plays on some of those units with Pat. I like it that he can be a productive guy in that sense.
Javon Carter.
Javon Carter's another one. Wesley Matthews is another name that John Horst had said they very strongly want to bring back. And again, those are guys. The more veterans that are around him and the less that you ask of,
hand up,
we need you to do this.
I was wrong about Wes. I was wrong about Wes. He was awesome for the Bucks last year.
24 hasn't exactly been great for producing talent. There has been some gems. Maybe Marjan Beauchamp is the next on this list. We'll go through the names after this. While we were away, the NBA champion Golden State Warriors make their first-round pick, and it is Patrick Baldwin Jr.
Fascinating.
Legitimately shocked. 28th overall.
But when you talk about what Patrick Baldwin can
well
do
and where he could excel...
He's going to get open.
It's perfect.
He's going to get open.
And just think about, you know, Steph and Clay and Draymond and what we saw Jordan Poole do and Andrew Wiggins, the win now talent that they have. But think about Patrick Baldwin Jr., a duo of draft picks in the last couple of years that we've seen a little bit of. You saw some Jonathan Kuminga a little bit through the regular season, very, very briefly in the postseason. James Wiseman, another guy that injuries have derailed so far. But if these young guys start to pan out, I mean, the Warriors are flush with talent.
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous how, you know, it honestly is something that I wish the Bucks would have been able to do to backlog some of that young talent, but they haven't been in a position to do so with what they've had to do in order to create a championship-level team by bringing in, you know, Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker and leveraging draft picks. And Horst is aggressive with his draft picks, and this will be interesting to see what Marjan Beauchamp's able to do for the Bucks, but good on Patrick Baldwin Jr.
Yeah.
You know, congrats to him because he took a risk by following his dad to a Horizon League school. And if you go to a Horizon League school, there's less exposure. He put himself in a situation where we talked with Scott Worris earlier, who's the voice of the Milwaukee Panthers, and he talked about how he had to do a lot more than maybe what he was capable of in terms of carrying the team, having to create for himself. He can shoot, and he's really tall. And the amount of open looks that he will get if he's able to find the court with the core of this Warriors team, man. I mean, you just think about all the looks Andrew Wiggins got and how, like, Wiggins was able to thrive in a role in which people never thought he would be able to change his game. Championship teams just mold people into the right role, and I think they found a good home.
I think about all the Milwaukee connections on the Warriors, too, with Kevin Looney, Jordan Poole. Now you got PBJ. It's insane. Gary Payton Jr., or Gary Payton II, isn't from Milwaukee, but his time with the Bucks.
There's a lot. The 414 Warriors.
They're the Bucks West, yeah. Good for Patrick Baldwin Jr. As we know, he's not at the draft, as Scott told us, here with his family. And
that's got to be a cool that call family room. To,
hey, you're joining the reigning NBA champions.
That's amazing. That's really cool. You know, because I've had an opportunity. We've done the Wisconsin Sports Awards as a company in the past, and you know, Patrick Baldwin Sr. would be there, and he brought Junior, and like, again, a humble group, a humble kid. Scott, you know, joined us and talked about how he works hard, has lived in the gym his entire life. And it's cool to see the state of Wisconsin continue to produce products that are making it in the NBA. And, man, nobody had him in the first round.
No.
Nobody.
The Warriors did. It was around 45 was the consensus of where you kept seeing Patrick Baldwin Jr.'s name. I mentioned it's been kind of hit or miss at 24. Ty Washington now to the Memphis Grizzlies here, which, as we talked about, Coach Calipari, if he does one thing, he gets you ready for the NBA. And now two guys are going into great spots here for Ty Washington, assuming he stays there, and Patrick Baldwin Jr. with the Warriors. But looking back at 24, what we've seen, you got to go back to 18, the last time you really saw an impact guy or somebody that's starting to get there in Anfernee Simons to the Blazers. Tyus Jones is starting to mold himself there with those Memphis Grizzlies. He went 24th in 2015. Tim Hardaway Jr., he's at least a rotational player and a shooter. He went 24th in 2013. Reggie Jackson was the 24th overall pick in 2011.
Reggie's sneaky, like, really good.
So it's every other year, basically, that you're seeing somebody latch on there. Serge Ibaka was the 24th overall pick. So was Kyle Lowry and Delonte West and Andre Kirilenko. The golden era of the 24th pick. And this dates back to when it was basically 27 or 28 teams. There was a span of 1991 to 96. Rick Fox, Latrell Sprewell, Sam Cassell, Monty Williams, and Derek Fisher.
What? At 24?
At 24. So, I mean, look, if Marjan Beauchamp is...
That's good company, man.
Derek Fisher is Rick Fox in under-the-radar career, too.
I don't know if it was under the radar.
I think so.
But here's what I do want to get to. We had a great show. We're coming up close to the end here. Shaka Smart joined us earlier today. And this is what we need Marjan Beauchamp to turn into.
he would call those guys hard rocking brothers.
We're going to change that to hard rocking dudes, and that's somebody that can defend and guard multiple positions, rebound tough, the P.J. Tucker-like guys. And here's what Marjon Beauchamp had to say in a pre-draft workout media session. I love this.
Kind of like a role like a Herbert Jones. I seen his role with the New Orleans Pelicans, and he shot 40% over three and defended the best players, you know, so just learning off that. And I watch a lot of, like, Mikal Bridges and stuff, so like players like that, like with that impact, because I know that's going to get me on the court.
I love it.
Those two names, too.
Great.
Like, I watch Mikal Bridges.
Mikal Bridges and Herb Jones. You got a guy who's not shooting to be Giannis. You got a guy who's trying to be a hard... What is it?
He just
Shaka, what is it?
He would call those guys hard rocking brothers.
That's what we got with Marjon Beauchamp.
Or maybe he's a guy that has a rocket, too.
I mean, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Remains to be seen. But look, if you're Giannis, you're Chris, you're Drew, and you see the young kid that's coming in saying, yeah, I want to defend the best player offensively. Great, man.
Are you kidding me?
Have at it.
Like, they should be sending that clip across the group text for the Milwaukee Bucks and be like, hey, we got a pretty good kid coming in here. He doesn't want to take any of our shots. He just wants to guard the best player. Drew Holiday and Wes Matthews are going to be like, what? That's our job.
Rockets in his ass.
Shaka was the best part of the night.
He would call those guys hard rocking brothers.
Shaka was great. Our thanks to Shaka Smart, to Scott Warris, to everybody who hung out with us on the live stream on WTMJ on ESPN Wisconsin throughout the night. Marjon Beauchamp, the latest member of the Bucks, and now our eyes are on free agency, which begins 1 week from today.
He would call those guys hard rocking brothers.